Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to go through, I think, about the first 17 verses tonight. And I may let you out early. Proverbs 8, let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Father, we're thankful for the precious words that we get to look at tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us as we sift through them, as we mine the good things from them. God, I pray that you'd help us to see the things that would be, God, the most help to us individually to help us draw closer to you. Bless our pastor and his wife as they're away. God, I pray that the time they have away would be good and refreshing. God, I pray that you bring them back safely to us. Help us now as we try our best to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom's voice. Wisdom occurs 222 times in the Bible, 172 times in the Old Testament. So my ACE math tells me that's 50 times in the New Testament. Sorry. Craig got the joke. Craig always gets my ACE joke. Say, "I don't know what that is." Then you'll never get the joke. It doesn't matter. Don't even try. 78 times in Proverbs through Song of Solomon. So there's a lot packed in here that Solomon gives us. I've always found it sad that the wisest man ever to live was a failure. Right? Would you want him alone with your wife? I wouldn't. I was thinking today, I don't know why I think these things. We couldn't get Solomon and his wives and concubines in this auditorium. There would have to be chairs in the aisleways and around the back and use the choir loft. We could probably then squeeze them in. That's ridiculous. When you put it in the context of where your brain goes, oh, that many people. Yeah, those are all the women that he loved. There's kids in the room, so we'll stop there, because that's already weird anyways, right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and understand where Solomon is coming from when he's speaking of wisdom. It's his introduction to the book. He writes this book to his son, Rehoboam, which, according to what we have written in Scripture, Rehoboam ignored the whole thing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." So the first thing we notice in verse 2 is that we are supposed to get acquainted with wisdom. The purpose of Proverbs, and we were in Proverbs, unless we had a special speaker, I was in Proverbs every Thursday in chapel, K-5 through my senior year. Had a lot of Proverbs. And so I love this book. I can quote a lot of this book because that's where my dad went every time for chapel. So I know Pastor John said it was the most awkward place to preach. I actually have good memories from it, but, you know, I do understand. I have preached those chapels where as I'm preaching, I'm thinking, why am I here? I don't understand. But anyways, to know wisdom. So getting acquainted with wisdom is the point of the book of Proverbs. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's look what he said there on the subject of wisdom. We're going to stay within most. We'll turn maybe one or two places outside of Proverbs, but pretty much we'll stay in Proverbs tonight. So if you have a brand new Bible that's not broken in, you still should be able to keep up. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 16. Notice he says this, when I applied mine heart to know what? Wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then, so after he applied his heart to know wisdom, then I beheld all the work of who? Of God. That a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. But it doesn't mean that you don't try. There still needs to be an attempt. You have the book of Proverbs so that you can have some wisdom in your life. Notice verse 3 of chapter 1. He says to receive the instruction of wisdom. So not only am I supposed to get acquainted with it, but I'm supposed to get instruction from it. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. I'm supposed to get to know it, but then not just get to know it, but allow it to speak to me. Let it change the way that you think. You ever in your daily life bump into something and something from Proverbs helped you with your thinking of it? I don't know, like a verse like, answer not a fool. That one's coming to mind probably more than any other verse in Proverbs as I'm listening to this person talk. Pastor Caleb could have used that today in a phone conversation he had. He decided to answer the fool and it was of no use. But anyways, if you want to know about the alien story he got today, you can ask him. It's great fun. Say, what do you do in the office? It's different from day to day. We draw straws to who gets the alien stories. So he got the one today. So it's great stuff. Number three, notice he tells us, so let's see here in verse 7 of chapter 1. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm supposed to get away from fools. This is a word that is used 53 times by Solomon. Foolish is used 16 times, and folly is used 20 times. To give you a thought by Plato, I don't read Plato, but I came across this today. Wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools because they have to say something. That's why that verse comes to mind more than any other verse in Proverbs, because as the person is talking, you're going, you just want to say something. You didn't have anything to say. That was clear within the first two sentences. And yet here we are. So my job is to get to know wisdom. My job is to let her instruct me. Go down to verse number 20 of chapter 1. He says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, we love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Number four, I need to get within range of her voice. I need to be in the Word of God daily. I need to be listening to spiritual things so that wisdom can speak to me. It's a wonderful thing to have someone say, hey, I'm a member of that church. Great, but do you go there? It's like saying, well, I own a Bible. Wonderful. What do you know about the Bible that you own? If I'm not within range of the voice of wisdom, it does me no good. I may know where wisdom is speaking at, but if I'm never there, if I never open to hear what she has to say, it does me no good. The human voice, the longest, according to Guinness, not the beer, but the world record thing. To answer that question right off the bat, one of you was thinking it. The human voice on still water at night, the longest they was 10.5 miles. You could hear it. That's a long way. That's a really long way. So notice, I'm supposed to get acquainted. I'm supposed to get instruction. I'm supposed to get away from the fools. I'm supposed to get within range of her voice. Here's what I see in the beginning of this book is, it is my responsibility to get wisdom. It is my job. It is not the pastor's job to find wisdom to give to me, right? It is my job as a child of God, holding what we say is the preserved words of God, correct? And I'm holding them, therefore, I'm responsible for them. If you have a driver's license, guess how many laws on the road you're responsible for? All of them. Well, I didn't know that one. So sorry. It is my responsibility, back to Proverbs 8, to get wisdom. Okay, so how do I do that? Well, the wonderful thing about wisdom is, I believe this, it is daily seeking you and I. God has it in many places to reach out to us and to speak to us. Pinterest, with all their little quippy phrases, is a great place to get wisdom. When you share a Google account with your wife and you go to Google something, and Pinterest is the first 75 million things that comes up, you're like, you know, one day I'm going to have my own. And it won't be anything associated. I'm sorry, that's bitterness, and I'm just letting it out. I shouldn't say that. Notice in verse number 1 of Proverbs 8, notice this. There's the pursuit of wisdom's voice. The pursuit of wisdom's voice. Here is the question. Doth not wisdom cry? What is the answer to that question? Yes, she does. And understanding put forth her voice. Yes, she does. So we're not going to be able to stand before God someday and say, oh, no one said. Nope. Wisdom said. And sometimes, depending on our attitude, I know this. You ever come to church with a bad attitude? Pastor Caleb is the only one. He said yes, loud enough for me to hear it. I have. Are you kidding me? Good grief. I've been in church before I was, right? So I've been to church with lots of bad attitudes. And if you do that as an adult, you can get to this place. Well, I'm just not getting anything. Well, it's like your kid coming to the table because he just ate the bag of Sour Patch Kids without you knowing it. And then they sit down to eat. And they're like, you're forcing them to eat. And there's a parent laughing like, that happened. I'm trying to ignore it, but I'm pretty sure that's happened. I just picked Sour Patch Kids out of the blue. But anyways. And you're trying to make them eat. Well, I'm just not hungry. No, that's... Yeah. And if we come in with the wrong attitude and a wrong outlook, we can get into trouble and begin to think, well, I'm not getting anything. Yeah, but how are you looking at it? Are you here wanting wisdom to say something to you? Are you here looking for wisdom to say something to you? Or does wisdom have to say it in a certain way and a certain cadence laid out like this, and then I can accept what she says? No, have you ever been reading through Proverbs and wisdom says something to you that you did not like? And God, who do you think you are to frame it? That's wisdom's job. Wisdom's job is to point out the things that I know that I should be doing, or the attitude that I have and I need to change it. Like, you ever read the word scorner and it kind of pokes you a little bit? Yeah. Just me and Miss Debbie back there are the only ones who scorner is the one. That hits me every once in a while. Why? Because we get scorner attitude. Okay, we're moving on. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's look at a great example of this. Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ speaking here. And in verse 25 of Luke 24. I'm going to need you to start admitting some things, or this is going to be a rough evening, I'm just telling you, right now. I know I'm not the only person. Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Isn't that half our issue? We're just foolish, and we're just slow at heart to even believe that God even meant it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, responded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know what he's doing? He's imparting to them wisdom. Now here's the crazy thing. He had probably said 90% of that to them already. Multiple times. How many times did he tell them, in so many words, by the way, going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me and then I'm going to rise from the dead in 3 days. What was that? That was some wisdom. Jesus Christ did it for his disciples. His voice was crying out to them. Now, did they pay attention? No, because they're just like us. You come to church looking for something and then God gives it to you and you miss it. And then you're talking to somebody else and they're like, yeah, but the pastor mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Oh, he did? I didn't hear that. Why? Because sometimes we're not in the right place to hear what wisdom is saying. Back to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. So we have the pursuit of wisdom's voice. That is our job. She is crying to us. Her voice is maybe screaming at us at times. Verses 2 and 3, where does she cry from? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. So secondly, notice the prominence of her voice. She is in two places. She is by the way. That phrase is used 92 times in your Bible, by the way. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and let's look at some verses here. She is not hiding in the corner, in other words. You know, God is not tricky with what he wants us to do. That's why we have to be careful. I have to be careful in my position. Pastors, talking about the will of God, because a lot of times we can talk about it as it's this mystical thing. It's this, you know, rabbit in the hat that God is hiding from it. No. God wants you to do something for him. He's not being mystical. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little what? Folly. Him that is in reputation for what? Wisdom and honor. Even if we're listening to wisdom and honor, sometimes our folly can make it sink. Even if we're in the place, we still have to be careful of our folly and the jokes we make and the lifestyle that we live. Verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his what? Left. Now, see, this is where my mom gets really mad. Because my mom's left-handed. She's the only one. Just saying. None of the rest of us. Aaliyah, are you left-handed? Okay, mom and Aaliyah are left-handed. All the rest of us are right-handed. I don't know why God pointed it out this way or put it this way. But he said the fool's heart is at the left. I'm just saying. Verse 3, yet also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom what? Faileth him. And he saith to every one that he is a what? A fool. You have to be careful, because sometimes your actions speak louder than your words. And you may have access to the wisdom, but sometimes your reputation precedes you. Your folly is a little bit too much. And even though the fool tells everyone that he is a fool, don't you already know that he's a fool? Generally speaking. But wisdom is still by the way. Wisdom is still there crying. The fool just doesn't listen. He collects information, mind you. So the fool can be sitting in church collecting the information, but what does it do? It just flies in the ointment of the apothecary. My wife shared a Twitter site with me the other night, and I will not say it because it's stupid, but all it is a bunch of bitter guys my age who are mad because things didn't go their way in their church, and so now they're making fun of other pastors and evangelists that they don't like. Oh, boo-hoo. You know what that is? That's flies in the ointment of the apothecary. That's fools and their folly. Somebody hurt you? Oh, I'm really sorry about that. Go to them and try to make it right, and if not, forget it. My dad told me a long time ago, son, people say stupid things. That's come in handy. See, was there anything else? Nope, just that phrase. That was all. It's all he ever said to me. It's the only little thing my dad ever gave me. But it's been good to have. Actions speak louder than words. Go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Notice in verse 2, she's by the way, so she's in prominent places. But even though that we may pass through the prominent place, it depends on how we gather that information and then what we do with it. You can have all of the right information, but if you do not use it properly. You ever been driving with somebody that technically has a driver's license next to you? And they're not using the information properly? Absolutely. Verse 3, notice she cried at the gates at the entry of the city at the coming in at the doors. Let me give you some references here. The gate of the city in this time was a place, Ruth 4:1 was a place of business. Boaz goes here to make sure that nobody else wants Ruth and the land that comes with her. And he goes to the gate where all the men meet and all the business is talked about. Amos 5:10, at the city gate, judgment is handed down at the city gate. And then 2 Samuel 18 and 19, both of those chapters, you find David there. So when she's in the gate, what Solomon is referencing, she's in a very prominent place of the city, a place where if you're anybody, that's where you're at. And if you need help, if you need business done, that's where you go. And that's where you'll find wisdom. The prominence of her voice is she is by the way and she is by the gate. Notice verses 4 and 5. She's very specific here. She says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Notice the precision in her voice. She speaks to two different groups of men. She speaks to the first group, which is the simple. And she says to them that they need to understand wisdom. Now, the simple doesn't necessarily mean stupid. And that's a bad word, kids, and we don't use it, right? It just could mean you're just simple. You don't get complicated things. And so her admonition is, out of all the things that you need to try to understand, you need to try to understand some wisdom. You need to try to gather those things in. Go to back to chapter 1, the verses we read. Notice what she said in verse 22 of chapter 1. She says, how long, ye simple ones, we love simplicity. And notice who she lumps them with. And scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my what? Reproof. Why? Because, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. It is our job to understand wisdom, even though we may be simple. Chapter 7, look at verse 1. If you're in your Bible, you'll find this. God will speak to you specifically of where you're at, what you're dealing with, and what you're going through. And here she says to the simple man, you need to understand wisdom. Proverbs 7, verse 1. She said, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live in my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them about thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, that's not a literal thing. I mean, you could bind them about your fingers. I wouldn't suggest the second part. A, that would be bloody and possibly deadly. But you get the metaphor, correct? It needs to be so close to you that you cannot remove yourself from it. Well, I just walked away from the Lord. Nope, lie. You made plans. Young people just don't stop coming to church. They're forced to come to church, therefore they make plans within their junior and senior year, freshman year of college, that they're done. And then they have to decide, are they just going to go? Or are they just going to be nice about it and slowly drag it on? That's just the sad truth of it. Verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And for some people, that causes just a little twitch. Because Pastor John, that would cause him a twitch if he had to have one more sister. That would probably be really bad. And call understanding thy kinswoman. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the who? The simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man, what was he void of? Understanding. And what did she tell the simple to do in chapter 8? She said, O ye simple, understand what? Wisdom. And this young man in chapter 7, verse 7, was void of understanding. It's not that you can't, it's that you won't. There's a big difference. There are some spiritual things, they're not hard to understand, they're just difficult to make my flesh do. The fact that I don't need to sit there with my cell phone in my hand for 6 hours a day, or with my TV on 24 hours a day, my flesh likes that. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say those things. Pastor gave me some stuff I wasn't supposed to say. That was one of them. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Fools, she says in verse 5, be of an understanding heart. Go to chapter 10, verse 8 of Proverbs. She speaks to the simple and she speaks to the fool. I don't like it when the Lord points out all the times that I actually am a fool. Didn't appreciate it. Proverbs 10, 8 says the wise in heart will receive what? Commandments. But the prating fool shall do what? Fall. So a wise man, he is able to be talked to and receive some commandment. The prating fool, he won't listen to anything that anybody says. And eventually he's going to do what? Fall. I didn't say that. God said that. Yeah, but I know better. I am sorry. I'm sorry. 12, chapter 12 and verse 8. 12:8 says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be what? Despised. She told the fool, be ye of an understanding heart. A lot of the things that I don't like in the Bible and I don't want to apply them to myself have to do with how my heart perceives them. Because we know the heart is desperately what? Wicked. And who can know it? No, well, not me. When was the last day where you said to yourself, self, I have a good understanding of my heart today? You're like me, it's like, if I get a 10-minute stretch, it's like gold. And then something else comes careening through, right? Once again, it's just me. Sorry. Chapter 14, verse 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath what? Understanding. So she told the fool, be of an understanding heart. Why? Because that's where wisdom rests. But that which is in the midst of fools is what? It's made known. Why? Because a fool uttereth what? All his mind. I tell you what I think, you generally do. Yeah. Check that box. Correct. Let's get one more. 16:21. Here's a word we don't use, at least not in a good way. 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called what? Prudent. And the sweetness of lips increaseth learning. So the end of the verse is, say nice things. People listen when you say nice things. If you're rude, I don't. You may know what I need to know. But if you're an idiot, I have a switch. Does anybody else have this switch? Yeah, I have this switch in my head. And you can be about two sentences in, and there's a little guy, it's his only job. He does nothing else up there. He sits in a chair and watches NASCAR, but he knows. If we're two sentences in and you're being dumb, he's going to go flip the switch, and then I'm watching NASCAR with him. That's what happens generally. Started last night. Anybody else enjoy? It was good stuff. Started last night. It was a blessing. I know you don't care, but I got to mention it. Nobody cares about Florida either, so there you go. Boo. All right. Let's go back to chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. So we have the pursuit of wisdom's voice, the prominence of her voice. She's in places where we should be. And she's speaking in places that where we should get the information she's giving to us. There's precision in her voice. She's very specific when she speaks. She's not just throwing random thoughts out. God wants you to know specific things, and God is very specific when he says things. Notice verses 6 through 9. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lip, lips shall be right things. There is purpose in her voice. Purpose, so we will do several things. Number one, so we will hear in verse 6. Well, what do I need to hear? I need to hear excellent and right things. Go to chapter 22 of Proverbs and look at verse 17. So there's purpose in her voice. And I need to pay attention. Why? So that I will hear. You ever say this to your kids? Are you listening? Nah, strike that. Reverse it. You ever say this to your spouse? Are you listening to me? Why? Listening is a large component of hearing what is being said. If you're not listening, you're not gathering information. You're hearing Charlie Brown's teacher. And that's it. So I need to hear. What do I need to hear? Excellent and right things. 22, look at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. And what's the next word? Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. That requires work. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall with all be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee in excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So the point in bowing down and hearing the excellent and the right things is that so you can be certain of the truth. Don't get a general idea of what the Bible says. Be certain of what it says. And I was reading over there the other day and it kind of said, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you ever do that? We're all terrible at that. No, what did it say? And then what did God say to you? And then how did that change you Wednesday when God said that to you? God is being very certain with the words that he is giving to us. Not only does he say in verse 6, he says in chapter 8, that I need to hear excellent and right things. But notice verse 7. She says, for my mouth shall speak what? Truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my what? To my lips. So let's use this phrase. There's purpose in her voice, so you will buy the truth. Go to chapter 23, right next to where we were. So she mentioned in chapter 22, Solomon says, that we need to know the certainty. That's why we bow down our ears to wisdom. 23, look at verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. What's the next three words? Buy the truth, all right, my generation, and sell it not. You know what I see? That's why I won't mention that thing on Twitter. You know what those guys are doing? They're selling the truth because somebody said something bad to them one time. And they didn't like it. Say, maybe you should be nice. I'll be nice to you. But if you're literally going to make an account to make fun of pastors and teachers, I'm out. I'm out. I don't even care. I told Pastor Caleb today, there was a couple guys on there, I was like, maybe kind of agree with you, but no, I don't agree with you. Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, God uses different people at different times to say different things. I'll probably get a bunch of answers, but I'm thinking of one guy on this. There's one guy that Baptists like to quote a lot. Was it? Spurgeon, yeah. Yeah, you probably wouldn't want the Calvinistic leanings. Well, it's not a leaning, sorry. You wouldn't want the Calvinism. It's funny how we can reach back to days gone when they're now dead. And we'll steal all that stuff. But the guy that's with me that I disagree with, I just make fun of him. It just got in my craw today. It really made me mad. And I was thinking of it the whole way as I was doing this today. By the truth, sell it not. Verse 23, by the truth, sell it not. And wisdom, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So, by the truth, by wisdom, by instruction, and by understanding. And don't sell any of them. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thy what? Heart. There he ties it in again. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Now notice verse 27, just keeping in mind this is Solomon to Rehoboam, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. When you read that stuff, does that, ooh. That boy knew something about that. I know that's awkward, but it's true. By wisdom. And then he says, give me your heart. Kids, your mom and your dad are doing the best they can with what they've got. Moms and dads have baggage, every one of them. I literally had a friend in high school whose parents literally threw pots and pans. Literally. I was there for multiple occasions of it. It was fantastic. You know what I never did? I never judged my parents by that. Your parents are your parents. Deal with it. Buy the truth. Buy wisdom. Don't buy what the world is selling because mom and dad made you mad. You're just lucky that God didn't give you to me. Well, I was talking to somebody about rules, and I said, were you raised by two ex-Quakers? I don't think you were. You want to exchange stories? Let's do it right now. I can list you more things I couldn't do than what I could do. You know what's amazing? There's my oldest sister, and there's my youngest brother, and I am in the middle, and every one of us are in church. Every one of us love God. Every one of us are raising their families for Jesus Christ. Why? Because it wasn't about what mom and dad did. It was about son, by the truth. Sell it not. There is precision in her voice. There is purpose in her voice. You need to hear. You need to buy truth. Go back to chapter 8. So you need to hear what she's saying. You need to buy that truth in verse 7. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in what? Righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. You need to speak righteously. If there is anything of our age that is getting worse and worse, it is people not speaking righteously. And little things that creep in. Mom and dad, we need to monitor what we're listening to and what we're watching. And it doesn't matter that the world is getting worse. That's never been a valid excuse in the eyes of God. It is our job to set the tone, to set the pattern, all that stuff. Older Christians, don't get lazy. Please, please, don't get lazy. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Don't get lazy. Buy the truth. Maybe you need to re-up on it. Speak righteously. Notice what she says in verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You need to accept what is plain and right. Here's the issue. The world sells shiny, fun things. The world doesn't sell plain and right things. And so when I'm comparing how God expects me to live to what the neighbors are doing, it does. Like I said in Sunday school, I've been watching snowmobile videos lately, and I don't know why I do that to myself. That's $15,000 I don't need to spend. I have to spend that, though, because I want the good one. You got to go. If you're going, you got to go, right? You don't want to use one because you don't know what Yahoo before you did to it. And if you've never been, then you don't understand that phrase. Because you ride up really steep hills. Then the front end starts to lift. What you're supposed to do is mark your spot like that and come back down. But if the other guy made it right there, and you're starting to lift, and you're starting to lean over it, you're trying to get up, and then it goes all the way. You stay there generally within 10 feet. but it goes. And then in the spring, it's on Craigslist. And he's like, $3,500, runs great. Yeah, how many hills did it roll down? Is this the one you pulled out of Houghton Lake after you went through the ice? Yeah, you got to spend the 15 grand. Sorry, that's how it has to be. Except what is plain and right. Notice, understanding and knowledge are needed. You have to have them both. Go to chapter 15, and let's look at verses 19 and 20. 15:19 says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made what? Plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Why? Because they don't want the plain way. They want what is, in their view, the exciting way. Not exciting. You may get up the hill, but if you don't decide to take the left turn, you're going to roll back down the hill. Not that I've done that. And if we did, we didn't tell Mom. You get home at 10 o'clock, she's like, how was it? Great. As you limp down the steps. Go to chapter 12. Let's look at the opposite side of this, verse 15. 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So I need to accept what is plain and right, but what God says is right and what I say is right are two different things. So the fool can say, I'm doing right. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? Is wise. So it's not that I'm doing right according to what I'm deeming as right. I'm doing what is plain and right according to what the Bible says is plain and right. And if I'm not continually checking back in with the rule book, right, I'm going to get in trouble. That's why there's all kinds of misquotes on the Bible. Or that's why people use, the Bible says judge not. I mean, technically, yes. That is not what the whole verse is. It is certainly not the context of the passage. You just like it because you're guilty. Well, Jesus drank wine anyways. That's why those things happen. There's purpose in her voice. Notice back in chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, there's some preciousness in her voice. She says this, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Two things. Number one are the choices in verse 10. I'm supposed to receive this, which is to take or to accept. It is a choice of mine to do. And she says you need to receive that rather than the silver and the gold. Look at chapter 3 and verse 31. But it is always a choice whether I'm going to do what God wants me to do or whether I'm going to do what I want to do or what it's being suggested that I do. Chapter 3, verse 31 says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Isn't it bizarre that we as God's children would envy the devil and choose what he wants? And we do. We envy the world and we choose what they do. It's crazy. She said, receive my instruction. It is a choice. And we make this choice every day. We make the choice whether we're going to read God's word or not. I don't care how many times you've read it, you still need to read it. You haven't mined everything out of it yet. Well, I've got a general idea. Listen, there's a lot of things in life. You know what? We're going to go work with Nate Roque tomorrow. And we're going to give you a general idea of how to run the wood chipper. We're not going to tell you everything. We're going to give you the basics. And never mind me, I'm just going to be over in the corner with the video camera. But it's not a big deal. Don't look at me at all. I watched a guy three Saturdays ago, I think. Had an oak tree fall in the lot next to me. And they're putting in a subdivision, but they can't build there because there's a natural ditch. And so, you have to preserve that. Not opposed, because there's not going to be a house there. So I'm pretty excited about it. But anyways, So an oak tree fell, and it was lodged against another one, plus sticking in the ground. And so I set up my camera, and I've got like an hour and a half of video, because this Yahoo was trying to cut this thing down. And there's all kinds of pressure from all kinds of different points. You say, why were you concerned about his health? Well, I mean, maybe a little. But it wasn't the main point of me videoing. I had shoes ready just in case he would have impaled himself, so I would have tried to go save his life. But he tried so many times to kill himself, he broke 5 straps trying to pull this thing. It was amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. Choose none of his ways. I was telling my boys, we don't do this. You see what he's doing right there? When you're cutting with a chainsaw and then running, that doesn't go together. You shouldn't be doing those things. It may have been Saturday morning entertainment. It may have been. There are choices, chapter 8, verse 10, to receive that. Notice verse 11, she says, for wisdom is better than rubies. That's a hard one, isn't it? Because the world will offer the rubies. Well, you can make more money. Sure. But after you make it, then what? It's just money, right? Maybe not. And all the things that may be desired, because that's what rubies do for us, more rubies just cause you to desire the things that more rubies can buy. That's it. I need more. Well, once you get... That's why it's always hilarious to me to watch these athletes who are making millions and millions a year go bankrupt. Why? Because their lifestyle dictates they have to spend that, right? I mean, you have to do that. Everybody else is... They don't live on a $60,000 a year salary making $32 million a year. They just don't. So, it is an admonition. Why? Because they're not to be compared to wisdom. The rubies and the desires that come from that are not to be compared. Why? Because desire is fickle. It's everywhere. Go to chapter 3, look at verse 15. says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Speaking of happy is the man that findeth wisdom in verse 13. So that's twice that Solomon says it. Why? Because Solomon had all the rubies. He had all the rubies, and he wasn't happy. After he got the rubies, he got all of the women. And that didn't make him happy. Proverbs 21. Let's look at another verse here, 21:25. We have to be careful of that desire that comes with those rubies. Notice, here's a strange desire, 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. There's the other side of it. The other side of it, you do nothing. I just can't work. Find that middle ground where God wants you to walk in that plain and right path and walk there. Don't be the guy that can't do anything, but then don't be the guy that's just going after all the money. Find that middle path that God wants you to walk. Notice back in chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, we have the personal testimony of her voice. She gives us a couple things personally about herself. Notice verse 12, she says, I, wisdom, dwell with who? Prudence. If you're a wise person, you have some prudence. There is the cohabitation. Go back to chapter 1, and let's look at 2 verses there. If you were to say that you live with this characteristic, would it be wisdom? Are you wisdom dwelling with... Who else would it be? Folly, foolishness, forgetfulness. I can't find my keys. Proverbs 1, verse 32. Says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Who are you with? Who are you dwelling with? You're dwelling with something. With someone, some characteristic is pushing you every day. Is it prudence? Or are you just a slothful person? I just can't do it. I just can't get it done. Something is pushing you. Robert E. Lee, said this, "We must expect reverses, even defeats. They are sent to teach us wisdom and prudence, to call forth greater energies, and to prevent our falling into greater disasters." Bad things happen? Okay. Then take the wisdom and the prudence from that. And change yourself. Ever had a moment where you just had to change how you reacted to things and how you thought? If you lean negatively, you need to fix that. It isn't as bad as what you're thinking. Absolutely. Change how you think. Who are you dwelling with? Is it prudence? Notice in verse 13, she dwells with prudence. Notice here, here's a companion of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. A companion of wisdom, she's dwelling with prudence, but along with her is the fear of the Lord. Go to chapter 9 and verse 10. Here's what the fear of the Lord is. Here's what we all know it is. You know this verse. The fear of the Lord is the what? It's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There ought to be a daily, continual thought of what does God think? What are God's thoughts? That is a wise thing to do. If you weren't raised with this thought, what does Dad think? You weren't raised like I was. That was a continual thought in the back of my head. And there were moments where something happened, and in my head I already knew what Dad thought. That wasn't going to be good. God ought to have that place in your mind and in your heart. That's prudent. Otherwise, it's just you determining what's plain and right. And as Solomon told us, the fool decides what is right for himself. That's not prudent. So either you are determining it as a Christian and a child of God, or God is determining it. And sometimes, isn't this true? Those lines kind of cross, yeah? That water gets kind of muddy. Yeah, but I always thought, yeah, there are some of those things, but what does God think? I always thought, well, that's great that you think that, but what does God say about you and your thoughts and what your perceptions are? Well, I think this. Great, wonderful. Does it line up with what God says? Well, in my home, we do this. Great. Does it line up with what God says should go on in your home? Well, I tell my wife, great. Is that what God said you ought to tell your wife? There are so many areas where we can become the fool who just decides this is the right way. I mean, is it really the right way? Or is it just an assumed right way that you've done it for so long, you just think that's how it's done? It's like the words to the song that you think you know. I saw a video yesterday where the girl was videoing her dad, and she said, "Dad, what's God's name?" He said, "Howard." "What?" "Yeah, it's Howard." She's like, "How do you know it's Howard?" "Our Father, which art in heaven, Howard be thy name." And he was dead serious. That's a fail. You know what that is? You think you know what's right. That one's funny. We could throw some other ones that aren't so funny, right? Does the Bible actually say what you think it says? Or have you just come up with your own version? I mean, we wouldn't do that. We're King James Bible believers. But are the words coming out of your mouth, the thoughts about your pastor, all those kinds of things, do they line up with what God says? Or is Howard really his name? Could be. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is Howard. I don't know. Maybe the guy's got a nugget out of the Greek that none of us saw. Who knows? Notice she says in verse 14 that there is some counsel that she gives. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Then she says, I have what? Strength. You want to be a strong Christian? You want to be someone who is strong in their faith? Have some wisdom. Have something that settles you. Have understanding. And you can give some counsel. Notice in verse 17, notice the passion of her voice. The passion of her voice. Notice, let me jump backwards a little bit. Notice in verses 15 and 16, the counsel that she gives, the sound wisdom that she is, the understanding that she is. Notice who she affects. By me being wisdom, kings reign, and princes decree justice. Princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Do you ever find it funny when laws and judges are being put down and man thinks he's so clever, and then they say some quippy thing and you're like, that's Bible, and they don't even know what they're saying? Why? Because man tries to run and run and run, and he just keeps running into God and what God said. And anytime they just want to rein things back in, all they're doing is drawing themselves back closer to God and what the Bible says. Because wisdom is the one that makes those things happen. Notice the passion of her voice in verse 17. She says this, I love them that love me. You know what wisdom wants? Wisdom wants a relationship with you. But you have to love her. And those that seek me early shall find me. Now, you could say, what is it, 5:30, 4? Sure. I don't think that's bad. But you know what it is? It's 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. That's early. Or maybe if you just got saved, however early you got saved, you better start loving wisdom. The trouble with church kids is they become the fool, they become the scorner, and they begin to think things in their mind that are not biblical. That's what they do. See, how do you know? I is one. And you begin to think things that aren't lining up with Scripture. Well, I know this. Do you really know that? Or is that just what you've always thought you knew? What does the Bible actually say? What do we actually believe? And the reason those things we don't know is because we don't love her. Because if you'll love wisdom, she'll love you back and give you what you need. And if you seek her earlier, it's a much better life. You know what thought never passes through my mind? I am never worried about where my wife is and what she's doing. You know what a blessing that is? You know the people in this world, that runs through their heads 80 times a day. Why? Because there is no wisdom, there is no prudence, there is no walk with the Lord. And walking with the Lord, you know what it does? It provides those things that are just, that's comfortable, right? I never have to text her and say, where are you at? What are you doing? Who are you with? I'm not worried about it. Why? Because we both sought wisdom early. There's a reciprocated love. I love her. She loves me. I've got 80 references here. Let's go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 22. Here's the other side of it. She says, how long, ye simple ones, will you what? Love simplicity. We are created to love something, right? So we're going to cling to something. Why not wisdom? Why not make that the love of your life? Why not make that the thing that you're going after? She says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's a research love here. Let's go to 28:5. Solomon says this to us. 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord, what do? Understand all things, man. Why? Because they're seeking the right thing. They're seeking after wisdom. Things in your life will make more sense. Just on a general plane. Every day. You know, God's concerned with where you work and who you work with and what you do. And so just being in the Word of God and seeking God's wisdom, God will help you with all those things. You're looking to make a big decision within your home, you and your wife, and you're talking and you're praying. Seek some wisdom. Get some counsel. Why? God is interested in those things. It wasn't that when we were 15 and 16, we had to find the will of God, and that's the last time we go talk to God about any decisions that we make. No, love wisdom. She says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Charles Stanley said this, earthly wisdom is doing what comes naturally. Godly wisdom is doing what the Holy Spirit compels us to do. And if you don't feel within yourself being drawn towards God and drawn towards spiritual things, you're using the wrong wisdom. You're tapping into what the world does and how the world thinks. The world is always thinking newer, bigger, and brighter. So they're always thinking that. They're not coming at it at all from God's angle. Last verse, let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's how you make this happen. If any of you lack what? Tough luck. Too bad. Ha, joke's on you. No, no. He said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how? Liberally, and then notice, and does what? Upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in what? Faith, nothing wavering. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to understand why God would give me his wisdom. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that when I pick up this book that I say that I believe, that I can actually understand the words that are in it. And if we're not careful, we spend so much time looking for deep, dark secrets of the Word of God that we just miss the wisdom that God was just simply trying to give us. And wisdom loves you. And you know what she wants? She wants you to love her back. She wants you to seek her early. And God gave us, man, every bit that we need. We don't need anything else. Commentaries are nice, but I don't have to have them. I have to have them. I don't have to have a Google search. I've got all the wisdom right here. I don't need the internet. It doesn't contain anything else that God thought I needed. It's all right here. So my encouragement, get some wisdom. Chase after it. Let's stand.